For my ally is the Force. And the powerful ally it is, life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. You must feel the Force around you. Here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Bad feeling about this.
Welcome to episode 441 of Blue Harvest. I'm your host, Halls Burkhart, and Will's not here this week. He's actually still in Disney with the family. Been getting some delightful update pictures, so I'm sure he'll have a lot to fill us in on when he's back next week. So I got a buddy to help me out. I called in a huge favor. You know, I know you guys have probably heard there's a lot of drama going on with the royals nowadays. Did Kate Middleton get a Brazilian butt lift? I don't know at all, but one you can guarantee is just rock solid good dude material is our buddy from the Sith list, the king of all toms, King Tom Chansky.
Thank you, Haas. It's awesome to be here, and hello, I'm everyone. So excited. Yeah, I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, man, I've been stoked to record with you all week. So we're going to talk about the Bad Batch. There's been some other interesting Star Wars news this week as well. This is a decent news week.
Yeah.
Before we jump into that, buddy, how's your week been? What you been up to?
It's been pretty good. I have one of those weeks at work where my boss is out the whole week.
Oh, hell yeah.
He got married over the weekend. He's out till like next Thursday or something. So,
yeah.
I mean, good for him. I'm happy for him. And I'm busy, you know, working. I'm getting stuff done. But at the same time, it's just very
chill and relaxed.
Yes.
My boss is actually out the rest of this week, and I'm like, oh, last 2 days of the week are going to be a little easier. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So, buddy, I have a couple things I wanted to ask you about, not Star Wars related.
Things
of a particular King Tom interest, okay?
Okay.
So, the first thing, I saw the announcement for this new Weezer tour, all right?
Oh,
where they're playing the Blue Album completely.
Yes.
Now, if I were to go to a Weezer tour where they played like, you know, a full album, that might not be my personal choice. You know, the second or third album are kind of where my Weezer fandom is mostly sort of concentrated, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is that going over with the Weezer fandom in general? Because I'll be honest, buddy, I find that fandom fascinating, and it's mostly because for like 3 years now, you've been meticulously reviewing and detailing all that demo material on Twitter.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, well, the fandom is a lot like the Star Wars fandom, where
you can't
there
please
are,
everybody.
You can't please everybody. There are a ton of good people, and there are a bunch of really loud assholes.
Yep, same thing with the Tool fandom, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, like you were talking about, I think it was on High Potion when you were talking about the people who were disappointed in the VIP experience.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I swear those people went to the Weezer shows too.
Yeah, man.
But I, you know, this is the 30th anniversary of the Blue Album.
Oh, damn.
So okay. That's why they're doing it. And I think people seem very happy with it.
That's cool. And I'm sure, like, if it's anything like any of those tours I've been to for other bands where they play an album, they're gonna finish the show with like a selection of other songs.
Oh, yeah. They're gonna, so Weezer. And this is something I kind of griped about too back in the day, but they always, it used to feel like they would play like 60 to 80 minute shows, and that was it. It felt like their shows were really short, but the last few years they've been going a lot longer. They've been putting a lot, and and I'm not just saying this, but the quality of their shows has been so much better than in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they're going to play the 45 minutes of the Blue Album, but they're going to play a ton of other stuff
too. Yeah, then awesome. Then I think that's sick. So yeah, I'm assuming you're planning on going, buddy.
Yeah, I got tickets to a show in Columbus about an hour and a half from here where I used to live. And they did something about 15 years ago where they would play a city two nights. The first night they would do like a greatest hits and then the Blue Album.
Oh.
The second night they would do like a greatest hits part two and the Pinkerton album.
That's was going to be another one of my questions, is if they've ever done one of those tours where they play a specific album front to back.
Yeah. And those went over well. I wasn't able to go to any, cause we had just had kids and you know, money. Yeah. My wife was taking, you know, she quit her job to take care of the kids. We didn't have, and unfortunately, you know, Weezer wasn't near us and I wasn't able to
make it happen. Yeah.
Make it happen.
Yeah. So but now that you've got that chance, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm taking my daughter, this will be her fourth.
Oh, nice.
Weezer show.
That's awesome.
And my son wants to go, so he's coming, and my wife is coming too. And it's the type of do where it's like, you know, it's very special, my daughter and I. So if my son, it's not his thing, my wife is going to be there to help out with that.
Yeah, and like, I'll be honest, buddy, that sounds like a real wholesome family moment. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll bop into some hash pipe.
Hey, that's my favorite Weezer song, as has been established. I was actually, now that you mentioned that, I saw, did Rivers Cuomo do a podcast or something recently? I was seeing some clips on like Instagram Reels where he was doing some sort of interview in a video format and was talking about when they wrote Hashpipe, they initially offered it to Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
And like the mental image of Ozzy Osbourne doing that song is like been delighting me all week.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because especially back then there were a few songs. Hashpipe is the only one to make an album. The others are just demos that he did for other people. And the other people, like he did one for Tom Jones. That. This is do you remember like the Tom Jones when Tom Jones was on Beavis and Butthead?
Yes.
Okay, that era Tom Jones.
Yeah, when Tom Jones was like, I'm trying to be cool with the young kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that mesh shirt with the muscles and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it would have been interesting to hear Ozzy do that.
That's a fascinating story to me right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that for a while there, and you griped about it too, that they, you know, it seemed like they had a very strict set time, 70 to 80 minutes. It was weird, like for the longest time in between albums, which is a very long time for Tool, like in between their newest album and the album before, which was like 13 years, they would do occasional sort of short tours, and like the set list was always the same. Like it was the same length every time. And it was really weird, like, because a lot of times since they were short tours, those dates would sell out really quick. So there were several that I just didn't get to go to. So by the time I did, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I haven't gotten to see them in a while. But there was a lot of complaining about the set list changing and stuff. And now that they're on like the third leg of the tour for this newest album, 5 years later, still no signs of life on something after that. But now what you're seeing is people complaining that they're not doing that set list because they have changed it, and they're like, what, they didn't do this and this and this. It's, you can't please everybody, and in a large fandom you can't please everybody.
No, you can't.
You see it every single fandom,
right? And they use this, you know, to make money and generate interest. And the fan base or potential fan base, it's the same with Star Wars. It's not those core fans. They have to please the general people who are only familiar with the hits.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. And like, I'll be honest, when we were leaving the Tool show here in January, I heard a couple of different people talking and being like, I didn't know a single song. They don't play they didn't play anything off of this album, and that's my favorite album. And like, it is, because this point they're doing the real weird stuff, which for me was awesome.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when you think about like the venues that those bands have to fill, they're not filling it with just the hardcores. You know what I mean? They're filling it for the mom and dad that see, oh, Weezer's coming. Oh, I really like that album. We should go. That'd be a good date night. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or like in the, if they do like the summer amphitheaters, a lot of these amphitheaters, they have, you know, subscriptions where you pay a ton of money, but you get tickets
to every lawn show.
Tickets to all these shows. And
yeah. So yeah, that's something that, like, you know, you kind of got to keep in mind with that is like that they, you know, they have, that's a big venue to fill a lot of times. You know, what's interesting that you mentioned that's the 30th anniversary of their first album. It's also, buddy, and I'm sure this will be of big interest to you. It's the 30th anniversary of the first Korn album this year, too.
What's Korn doing these days?
Well, so they're still touring. They put out new albums. I give each new album like a listen and I'm like, all right, good for you guys. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely... they're still doing their thing. They have like a big show to celebrate the 30th anniversary coming up in LA in October. And I was kind of hoping it was going to be a tour because I totally would have gone for old time's sake, but it's just that one-off show.
But you know, good for them for still being at it and putting out new stuff.
It's hard to argue that they're the most successful new metal band based on the fact that like they've never taken a break. They've never had a hiatus. They've been recording and releasing and touring straight since 1994. So,
oh, wow.
Good for those dudes. Okay, other thing I wanted to ask you about, because just before we started recording, I was just kind of catching up on news and stuff. So from what I understand, today at like South by Southwest, they announced the next sort of big change for the X-Men comics, right?
Yeah.
Now... how long ago was it that Powers of X and House of X started?
That was summer 2019, so it's been five years. Hickman, at the time, said he had like a four or five year plan, but he left like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
He did. So he did a storyline called Inferno that was like his. It didn't end Krakoa or any of that stuff, but it ended like his
run on it. Right.
Yeah.
So when that happened, I got real hyped up about it. Like when they started off with that and like King Tom got me hyped. He was showing me all the spinoffs and I said, you know what? I'm going all in on the Marvel app. I'm buying the issues every week and I'm keeping caught up. And I did a pretty good job for about 4 months. And then I started to get a little overwhelmed because there were a lot of titles. They didn't, you know, release them all at once. It was kind of staggered. So I kind of fell off, but I was digging it. So it seems like this summer they're kind of rebooting that, not rebooting, but relaunching the X-Men again. And I'll be honest with you, buddy. I looked at the rosters for the three teams. I don't get it. Those are some weird rosters, man. There ain't no Colossus. There ain't no Iceman.
Yeah. So it's kind of weird because they're, I feel bad saying this because, you know, like you, I was so hyped up from that, those two initial miniseries. And some of the series they put out were very good, but it got very complex and not everything was as good.
Right, right. There were, it wasn't a consistent quality.
Right. And now they're trying to end, they're ending it with two books, The Fall of the House of X and Rise of the Powers of X, or Rise of the Powers of 10. And it's kind of the same thing, like where one takes place in the current timeline and another is skipping back and forth. And we don't know how it ends, but it feels like they're going to make it that this era never happened.
Ah, that
Which
sucks.
Is kind of sad.
Because there were some really cool ideas that they were working with in that last relaunch in 2019. Right.
And, you know, in if that's what they do, my headcanon is going to be that that House of X Powers of 10 miniseries is like the last X-Men story ever because it had a happy ending.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up. That's, and I really like that approach, buddy. I think that's like a healthy approach to take to that sort of thing and then go into the new stuff and maybe it's really good. I'll say about the new stuff, what was it? Extraordinary X-Men with... Kitty Pryde.
Is that the one, Kitty? Yeah.
Yeah, that one, reading the synopsises, that one sounded the most interesting to me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Still don't understand the rosters, though. But granted, there were people on those rosters that I wasn't familiar with because, you know.
Yeah, I think they're trying to blend the old and the new. And I think they want to get back to a more normal world.
Mm-hmm.
Because Krakoa allowed them to do a lot of really cool things.
Mm-hmm.
But it also presented some difficulties. And how do you tell a story and not have the X-Men just be gods?
Right, right.
Because that's what it made them. So I could kind of see why they want to get out of that. I don't know if you saw this because this didn't happen until the end of the panel, but they also announced there's going to be some other books. There's Wolverine, obviously. There's going to be a Storm book, Phoenix, X-Force, X-Factor.
Ooh.
And maybe one or two others, I want to say.
So they're still bringing a lot of books, but every time I hear that and I go, that's a lot of things to read. And I like,
yeah,
because like back in the day when I was a kid buying comics with a allowance, like if there was a big crossover event, I could get the main issues. Right. I wasn't getting all the crossover, like, you know, extra books in the big events. Mm-hmm. So like having that ability now to just read it all hits something. But you mentioning you just view it in your headcanon as the last X-Men story ever reminds me, Hannah and I went to Second and Charles the other day. That's like a really cool store here in Birmingham. It's like, on paper, it's a used bookstore. But when you go in there, they have everything. Vinyl, toys, board games, books. Like, it's just one of those stores that they have a bunch of weird shit, and most of that shit I'm kind of interested in. So I was looking through, I've been kind of looking at some hardback X-Men omnibuses, because I doing the graded comic thing, it's been making me want to go back and read some X-Men stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I know at some point we're going to be moving into like new live action version of the X-Men, and you know, I'm just kind of feeling the X-Men hype. And I was looking through and I found something that the last time I seriously collected comics where I was getting mail order comics from Mile High Comics.
Okay, I did that. I did that a few times.
Yeah, where you just go on and you subscribe to, and like I started off, I had subscribed to like five or six titles. I got a couple of cross-gen titles. That'll tell you about the era that was in, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was a series going on called X-Men The End. Right, written by Chris Claremont, and it was three different miniseries. I got the first two, right? They did, I can't remember, it was maybe three issues of four, and they were about a year apart. And I remember really liking it, even though I don't know how it ended, because I never finished the third part, but they had an omnibus of it that I almost picked up. I was pretty tempted to pick it up. I was looking through it.
I don't think I've ever read that.
Yeah, it was, you know, like... It wasn't classic, like, best of Chris Claremont, but it was interesting. I like those kind of, like, you know, not necessarily part of canon stories that they do sometimes like that.
Yeah.
So, hell yeah, I got to talk to King Tom about X-Men a little bit. Yeah. What's Star Wars? So, buddy, before we jump into that, you know what does have something to do with Star Wars? BlueHarvest.rocks and MyWeirdFoot.com for all your Blue Harvest and High Potion news. You can go there. You can get links to all our social medias, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram. Been streaming on Twitch. King Tom's hanging out in the chat sometimes.
It's a fun hang.
Buddy, we gotta figure out getting a game that you can play with the crew so you can hang out with us. You know, honestly, Final Fantasy 14, the Final Fantasy MMO might be the one.
I do have to try that sometime.
I think it might be the one, buddy.
You know, there's... I don't know if this is something you were planning on talking about, but a Star Wars game got released today.
Oh, buddy. That was first up on the list. I can't wait to get to it. I hate to say it that way because it makes it feel like I'm gleeful that it's going on, but it's not that. Anyways, what else you can get is a link to our Patreon where we post bonus shows, and you know, you get an exclusive RSS feed, patreon.com/blueharvestpodcast. I didn't release a Bad Batch episode because Hannah was visiting and I didn't really have time. I just watched the episodes before we recorded. So apologies about that, but I'll be back on that next week. Okay, buddy. Star Wars video game. I'm so glad you reminded me. Because okay. there's a half chance I hit Funky Town while we're talking about X-Men and I totally forget about all the Star Wars topics.
I can understand that.
So we talked, Will and I talked about it. I don't know. It only feels like it was announced like a month ago.
It was pretty recent.
Yeah, but Aspire. Now, there's a few things to keep in mind about Aspire. We'll circle back around to that. Aspire is a video game developer who's mainly known for porting old titles to modern hardware. So if you have an Xbox or a Switch or a PlayStation and you see things like Star Wars Racer, or what are some of the other ones? There's a lot.
Did they do Dark Forces?
They didn't. That's an important distinction too, because apparently that one really good. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but
it came out at 2 weeks ago, and so I got that for the Switch, and it's really good.
Yeah,
there's
I hear
bonus
that
stuff. There's deleted levels. Yeah,
yeah, and like. There's a video where you can watch the difference between the original graphics and the remastered graphics because they didn't change it. They just cleaned it up. Looks sick. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to play it. I have a Final Fantasy I have to beat before I can go back and play Dark Forces for the 8th time or whatever. You know?
That's understandable.
So Aspire released a new Battlefront collection, right? That includes the original Battlefront 1 and 2 from back in the 2005-2006 area. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were very excited, me included. Yeah. Now, leading into it, there were a couple of pieces of information that came out about it that did make me hesitate a little bit. One was that there wasn't going to be any cross-play, meaning if you're playing on Xbox, you can only play with other people playing on Xbox. Mm-hmm. PlayStation, so on and so forth. Which is kind of a bummer because, especially for my friend group, we all kind of play on different stuff. So crossplay games are like real important, right? No crossplay, not the biggest deal. It's not like I was going to convince all my friends to download a 20-year-old game and play it with me online anyway. You know what I mean? That was probably going to be a me and Will thing at most, right?
Right.
So then the game comes out, and I knew it was coming out soon, but once again, you know, it's lower on the priority list. I'm going to check it out at some point. And the first hint that I got that there was anything wrong with it was an early morning text from Steve that just said, apparently that Battlefield collection is trash. And apparently they had a very rough launch, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff I was reading is that when you would go online to join a game, there would only be 3 servers listed. Yep. And each one would be completely full with 64 players. So people weren't even able to get in and play games. Mm-hmm. Now, Aspire has since released a statement saying, you know, they realize there's issues. They're working to fix them. I'm hopeful that, you know, in a week or two, maybe longer, because you're not talking about something that's super popular, like that's selling a ton of copies. But... that they'll get it all straightened out. It doesn't seem like anything that can't get straightened out with some patches and some server maintenance or whatever the fuck. I don't know.
I hope. I pre-ordered it yesterday because I had some because we have a Switch and my son and I, you know, I was telling my son about it. We want to do the playing
split screen.
Against each other split screen. And so I had a bunch of Nintendo points. So I pre-ordered it. And I went on the Switch today, and it didn't download.
Huh.
Because I didn't have enough free space.
Oh.
So I went in, and you know, most of the bigger games, 5 or 6 gigs, I think.
Yeah, especially on a Switch. Game sizes are much smaller than.
Yeah, the last Zelda was maybe 9 or 12.
Yeah.
This was 37.
That's what? 37 in a row?
Yes, 37 gigs for 2 games that came out 20 years ago.
That's,
I don't know how that's possible.
That's bad. That's not, I don't understand the what and the why that's bad, but that's bad, right?
Yeah.
For instance, the new Final Fantasy game is like over 100 gigs, right? But that, you're talking, you know, current gen, huge game, hundreds of hours, like, you know, there's a lot of content. It's, if like you buy the physical version, it comes on two discs, even two Blu-ray discs. That's a big game. Mm-hmm. 37 gigs is still a big game. Like, if I have to download a 37 gig game and I have a really good internet, I have to like make sure I set it to download if I want to play it by a certain time. You know what I mean? Like, that is not an insignificant download, and that is huge for a Switch game. Damn.
Yeah.
Woof.
So, well, I hope they fix that too.
So why is this important about Aspyr? Well, Aspyr is also the developer who was initially announced to be developing the Knights of the Old Republic remake.
Oh.
And that was the big question, was like, listen, they do these Star Wars ports, but they haven't actually made like a real game, quote unquote. Not to take away any of, you know, the hard work it takes to make one of those games compatible with current hardware. But, you know, as far as creating a game sort of from the ground up, they hadn't done that. Mm-hmm. And then they are no longer working on that game. A developer by the name of Saber Interactive is supposedly working on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Aspyr and Saber are two video game developers that are owned by an overall, like, mega corporation called the Embracer Group, right?
Okay.
They are in the news a lot lately because a couple of years ago, they went on a crazy buying spree where they bought, like, Aspyr and Saber, and they're who bought Gearbox, the studio that makes the Borderlands games. They bought some stake in the Lord of the Rings stuff. Like, now they're the ones that have the exclusive rights to make Lord of the Rings TV shows and movies and stuff, right? They went on this crazy buying spree, and then, like, less than 2 years later now, they're selling off a bunch of that shit, right? Including Saber Interactive. So Embracer has supposedly put that studio up for sale, at least partially. And supposedly that studio is still working on the Knights of the Old Republic. Now, that, I'm just going to say it right now, that game ain't ever coming out. We all realize that now, right? We just need to have that come to terms moment. That game's never coming out, at least from that studio. I saw a story today where they said, what was it? Let me find the headline, because this was specifically what made me think of it. Embracer suggests Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake isn't coming out for over a year.
Wow.
Really? You think? Of course it's not. Yeah. Of course it's not. So, just another not great news story about that particular game. We will see a Knights of the Old Republic remake eventually, because that's just money in the bank, but I don't think it's going to be this one.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, buddy. Surely you saw this story about Patty Jenkins?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Okay, so Patty Jenkins is giving a promising update on her long-presumed dead Star Wars movie Rogue Squadron. When I left Star Wars to do Wonder Woman 3, and I started working on that, we talked about, well, maybe I'll come back to Star Wars after Wonder Woman 3. Now, this is where we do the freeze frame, and you say, you might be wondering how I got here. Let me tell you. So we started a deal for that to happen. So when Wonder Woman 3 went away, Lucasfilm and I were like, oh, we've got to finish this deal. We finished the deal right as the strike was beginning. So now I owe a draft of Star Wars. I think there's an important piece of information. That's an important piece of information, man. We finished the deal right as the strike was beginning. So this was recent.
Mm-hmm.
This was last year that they finished this deal. So I definitely think that makes it seem like this movie is more alive than I presumed.
Yeah, me too.
Now, I think this might be the Knights of the Old Republic remake of Star Wars movies. I don't know that we'll ever see it, but they're doing something, you know? So we'll see. When the hell is that movie going to come out? Never. Well, hypothetically.
Yeah, we know they have their next three theatrical movies scheduled.
Yeah, and one I don't like to say it out loud, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little. I don't know about that James Mangold thing, buddy. I don't know.
We haven't heard about that one in a while.
Yeah, and Indiana Jones didn't do great. Which, by the way, undeservedly so. I thought that movie was fun.
Yeah, but you know what? Indiana Jones did a hell of a lot better than Wonder Woman 2.
That is true. That is true.
And you know, I if it's not that I don't want to see this movie. I'll be there opening night if it does, but yeah, I'm not.
This one, of all the premises, yeah. Well, I'll say this: of all the premises of supposed Star Wars movies that we're getting, you know, Mandalorian and Grogu, the Rey movie, the James Mangold movie, Rogue Squadron, it's the premise that probably interests me the least. Now, yeah. If it turned out to be, you know, how they could immediately suck me in is kind of like. Tie it into the Rey movie and make it about like Poe Dameron training the next generation of X-Wing pilots. Like just go full on Top Gun. I don't give a fuck. I would watch that. That sounds sick.
Yeah. What if it's a Disney Plus thing?
I think it could be a sick. That's the thing. Like back in the day when Will and I would talk about what would be neat to see as a Star Wars TV show, be honest, none of it was anything that we've gotten. Like I remember specifically saying, like seeing a show about starfighter pilots could be cool, right? So I think it has a sick potential for that, and then it could be more than one season, even.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, and it could be set in the sequel trilogy timeline. Like, Oscar Isaac ain't opposed to doing a Disney Plus show. Somebody start sending him Zillow listings. He needs a house.
Make it happen. And especially like you said, if they do it kind of as a prequel to the Rey movie, just to get us used to the era or the setting.
Yeah, or even concurrently. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I like when they do that kind of stuff in movies. Like, not that he couldn't be part of the Rey movie. Like maybe the Rey movie even has some story elements that kind of set stuff up in the, you know, for this. Like,
right.
I would be all for that. That'd probably mean we'd get to see it sooner than if it was the movie that we might not be seeing.
I think so.
Yeah. So that could be cool. I remember, and it's hard to say because I feel like so many people just kind of throw shit at the wall, but I remember there being some sort of rumor that maybe it was being considered for Disney Plus instead. I can't remember. That was like maybe a year or two ago, you know? I did see Steele tweeting that she's rollerblading back towards the fighter jet. And I was like, that's funny. That's a good one, Steele. What else? There was another smaller thing besides Bad Batch. The guy that played Captain Nita passed away. That sucks.
Yeah.
Was
it that financial thing?
Yes. The thing you sent me. Why don't you fill me in on that, buddy? What is it again? Okay.
So Disney put out a shareholder statement, and these are things that they file them with the SEC. They have to, like, the attorneys and the accountants have to go over them. They have to make sure, like, everything in this is accurate. And it's a presentation for the shareholders. I kind of flipped through some of the other slides, but it's, like, designed to say what a great job the current board led by Bob Iger is doing.
Okay. So it's kind of massaging the nuts of old Bobby I a little bit.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And they have something where they mention their enduring franchises, and they name Frozen, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
And so Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars are all things they bought. Frozen is something that they started in-house. And basically, they are saying how much money they have had as a return on investment.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, you know, Frozen is in the top 9.9 times return.
Okay.
Pixar 5.5, Marvel 3.3, Star Wars 2.9%. Now, before you say, or not 2.9%, Star Wars has made 2.9 times the amount of money they have put into it. And if people are wondering why is Frozen, think of what Frozen is. Frozen is just a movie they did. It had a sequel, and it was
hugely
a huge movie.
Successful. Yeah.
Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, they had to put billions of dollars into.
Oh, so that is accounting for like budgets and salaries and...
This is production on movies, on shows. So the investment is, it's covering everything but theme parks.
Okay.
So it's merchandising, publishing.
It's not even counting money that they made from Galaxy's Edge.
No, or the money they spent on the Galactic Star Cruiser.
Okay, good call. Yeah, fair enough. Good call.
So like... the hundreds of millions of dollars they've spent producing the sequel trilogy, mm-hmm. Rogue One, Solo, all the Disney Plus shows, that counts as investment.
Right.
And then
I would imagine also the original $4.5 billion
that
they bought Lucas for. Okay.
Yeah. So you figure it's at least $5.5 billion. So they have made at least 2.9 times that in everything they've done.
So they've made like $12 billion.
Yes.
So that is, so when you, oh my Lord, that means we're going to get at least a good amount more Star Wars for a little while, you know?
I mean, and yes, Marvel is at 3.3 times, but consider the number of Marvel movies that have come out since Disney bought them.
Yeah. And that they paid less for Marvel than they did for Star Wars as well, right?
I think either less or right around. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
You might be right. It's a pissing match with billionaires. The fuck am I talking about?
Exactly. But like you kind of said it, you know, Star Wars has made a ton of money for them. Mm-hmm. They've put out 5 movies and, mm-hmm. you know, 1 or 2 TV shows on Disney Plus a year. And they've gotten this type of return back.
Right on. I mean, it's goofy to say it, but like I like to hear that Star Wars is successful because I want more Star Wars. So hell yeah.
Exactly. We'll get more.
Yeah, man. You know, it's just tough because there ain't been a movie in a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say this. We're coming up on 10 years of new Star Wars. Well, you know, to be fair to Rebels, even longer. But
yeah.
You know, the real push of new Star Wars, I think you could say, started in 2015. But Rebels was on in 14,
2014,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like middle of the year, I think.
So I think, you know, you could honestly say we're hitting about 10 years of new Star Wars this year then. We've gotten a lot, and a lot of it has been surprisingly solid.
Yeah.
Not everything's been a home run. Every now and then they fucking build a cool-looking hotel that's too way goddamn expensive. You know?
Yeah.
Still wish I had gotten to go to it. I don't care. Yeah, it looked goofy. It looked like the kind of goofy I wanted to be part of.
Yep.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Man, Will sent me a picture of him and Liam in front of the Millennium Falcon at Galaxy's Edge, and I was like, guys, that's a great picture. What a good picture.
Man. Yeah. That's such a cool place to be.
Dude, I gotta go. I still can't believe I haven't been yet, but I'll get there one day before they turn it into Aladdin Land. Do you remember that rumor? They're going to knock down Galaxy's Edge and turn it into Aladdin Land. It had some cooler name than that.
Yeah, but that's what it was.
But that's what it was Aladdin Land. Okay, so Bad Batch, 2 episodes this week. Infiltration and Extraction, what was the first one called?
I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay. What'd you think of these, buddy?
Overall, I liked them. I was glad they were 2 episodes because I would not have done well with my general impatience waiting for the end of week 1. No, I thought they were solid, you know, kind of pursuit shows. It was cool to see, was it Gregor?
Yeah.
At the end. And I thought he was going to go with them.
Right. Yeah.
The one th- and this is something I talk about on the Sith List. This season is just so dark.
Buddy, it's real dark, which makes me nervous about the rest of this season. It's definitely, yeah. I think it's by far the darkest season yet, but it's like, it's really well done. It's not dark in that Zack Snyder-y way, you know?
No. Yeah. The stories are great, but the visuals, it's tough to tell what's going on sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, dark in lighting as
well. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's what I meant.
I've noticed that too. I thought you meant in tone.
That too.
Yeah, dark and lighting. There were a couple of the gunfights. I want to say, was it the first episode? It's hard for me to remember when I watch them back to back. But there's a couple of gunfights in those episodes that I did think were a little dark. Mm-hmm. They should crank up the brightness a little bit.
Yeah.
But I thought the overall story was cool. Like, I'll be all right to move on to the next part of the story next week. Like, I didn't dislike these episodes, but they might have been a couple of, like, maybe my least favorites of the season so far. Just because you're going to like ones more than the others. They were all right. I'm just starting to get them comfortable about that one motherfucker. Because, you know, everybody's like, ooh, is it Tech? Right?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, guys, I love Tech. He was a great character. I thought his sort of character-focused episode last season was one of the best ones. I'm bummed that he's dead, too, but he probably should just stay dead. I don't need it to be a big reveal that Tech... because then you know they're going to figure out some way to bring the old Tech back, and then the whole crew's back together. Everybody's fine. Doesn't that seem a little goofy, right?
I it's not Tech. I know who it's going to be.
Who's it going to be?
Starkiller.
If that motherfucker is Star Killer King Tom, they might as well trot out Henry Winkler in a pair of skis. Yeah. All right, what's the Star Wars version of a shark?
That was it. Riff Tamsin from the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
No, with that one guy with Ahsoka who ended up being nothing but a pile of gas.
Oh, what it's going to be him? Like,
yeah,
he's a gas dude.
Something like that. Yeah.
Dude, it would be so funny if they shot him and just poo-poo gas came out like that one dude. Do you know, like, the immediate weight off my shoulders when that poo-poo gas came out of that dude's body on Ahsoka? Oh,
yeah.
I was so glad. Like, I don't know that it needs to be anybody that we know.
Yeah, I don't.
But if
I'm fine with it not.
But if it was, there is one way I'd be okay with it. Because I've been thinking about it. Okay. I'd be okay if it was Cody and he doesn't get redeemed. And they just have to kill him.
I like that a lot.
I like that too.
Sign me up.
I think that would be pretty sick. I'm cool with any of the clones. I'm already settled in to Lycan Crosshair. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, oh, me too.
As part of the crew. But Cody, mm-mm. I do like Omega's new weapon that we saw in the poster.
She didn't use it, though, did she?
No, they're saving that. But she'd keep that motherfucking thing on her. You know it.
Yep.
We're about halfway through the season now with those two episodes?
I think this was the halfway point, it's moving along.
It is. That always happens. Like, Star Wars season kicks in and I'm like, ooh, I got 8 weeks of Star Wars. And then all of a sudden I'm like, what happened? Where'd it go? that was episode 6 and 7. So yeah, we're right at about the halfway point.
And some people are, you know, you mentioned it, that maybe they're trying to set up a backdoor pilot for whatever the next animated show is.
And yes,
some people think it's going to be about the clone, like the clone revolution or whatever.
I saw Corey talking about that, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll be honest with you. I would watch it. You know, I'm invested in this animation style and sort of the way they're doing this weird continued story. You know, I would be totally fine if after it's all said and done, we have a complete bridge from Clone Wars to Star Wars Rebels in animation. They could fill in every single day. I don't care. I kind of would prefer they move on to something besides post Clone Wars in the timeline with the animation, but I would watch it and I'd be stoked about it.
I'm the same way. I would like that story sometime, but I mean this with all respect for the guy. He's a hell of a talent, but I don't know how much more I could take of D. Bradley Baker talking to himself for 20 episodes a year.
D. Bradley Baker saw Corey's tweets about the Clone Revolution show, and he printed that shit out and took it and put it on Dave Filoni's desk and said, "Give the people what they want, Dave."
I need a new Maserati.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That man is going to have a Maserati for his Maserati.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, buddy. Let's listen to a quick song, and we'll do some emails and stuff. Oh, okay. But overall, I really like these episodes of The Bad Batch. I mean, my favorite, not my favorite so far, but I thought the story was cool. Every time they show that guy from Republic Commando, I go, ha, ha, ha. That's that guy. But then it also kind of makes me nervous because Starkiller could also be that guy from the video game that just shows up for some reason. So, you know, makes me nervous. All right, let's do this.
Okay.
Kia D. Kia D. Kia D. Cockhead. The only Jedi master who can crash box Kia D. Cockhead! Running around slaying bitches with his cockhead! He's a big Saurian stud. He loves to split chicks with his bud. Kitty! Cockhead! To stroke his cone and suck on his balls. Kitty! Cockhead! What you gonna do when he comes on you now? He's a Jedi Council stooge, but he'll be pumping spooge tomorrow! Cockhead! Cockhead, Harsberger, Cockhead, Will Witten, Cockhead, Goose Payne, Cockhead, G Money, Cockhead, King Tom, Cockhead, Joe, Cockhead, Kia D, Cockhead, Cockhead.
The classic. If you want to send in a voicemail or email, blueharvestpodcast@gmail.com. This voicemail segment. Email segment, because it's all emails. And you know how I do with those, King Tom. You know how those go sometimes.
Especially if they're from Eric Strothers.
Oh, that man. This man turned into my senior English teacher in like one of those movies about a teacher that just has too much trouble connecting with his student. You know what I mean? And at the end, I know how to say acolyte.
Yeah.
All right. So we actually have three emails. One of them is from our buddy Richard Howard, and it's specifically talking to Will about that. So I'm going to save that for when Will's back next week. I was checking this out because he also emailed about Tool. I'm not going to make King Tom sit here and listen to that. I already made the man talk about the X-Men for 15 minutes.
It's okay. This
is from Sam. He says, "Howdy Halls, guest, and the ghost of Will. While the Star Wars news from the week is great, I have to share a movie trailer with you guys about a subject near and dear to all our hearts, and maybe the heart of Turgle." Oh, my goodness.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness. All right. We're going to check that out.
People keep saying that my Frogman footage is fake, and I'm going to get proof that the Frogman exists.
Morning, sunshine!
It's a found footage frog.
I have something to say about Frogman.
Frogman, that's what put Loveland on the map.
So are you a Frogman fan?
That what brings you folks to town?
We're actually making a documentary.
Is he an ancient god? Or is he an ancient alien, maybe? Or is he a big frog trying to get his rocks off?
So Dallas, do you have anything to say about what you're really trying to accomplish here?
I want the world to know the truth.
Oh, Lord.
About Frogman.
Uh-oh. It's the Blair Witch Frogman.
Yep.
Guys. guys. There was a better use of your money here.
I saw Frogman as a kid, and what I saw was a real thing.
I think it's time for you folks to head on home.
Uh-oh. Feral child film.
And I'm going to get irrefutable proof. Frogman exists.
Are you getting
not
all this?
Not this year. Nope. I ain't watching this.
That's a slime from the tree. He was here.
Go. Show the frog. Just show us the frog, damn it. You know what? Shame on whatever streaming service ends up having that deep in the algorithm.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Is the Loveland... Do I remember this correctly, King Tom? The Loveland frog is up from around you, right?
Yeah, it's about... Loveland's about 15 minutes away from me.
Holy shit. So, were you aware of the whole Loveland frog stuff?
I wasn't until I first heard it a few months ago.
Wow.
On Blue Harvest. Yeah. Next time we go over there every now and then, there's a really nice bike trail and a few really cool restaurants we'll go to. But I haven't seen much of signs or anything really promoting the Frogman.
Yeah, because that's what I was wondering. Like, you know, if you go drive in the Nevada desert near Area 51, where all the kids were going to Naruto run past right. the security to get in there, there's all kinds of like alien themed rest stops and stuff.
Right.
Now, do I want to see that bad enough to drive around in the desert before I end up in the Hills Have Eyes? I don't know about all that.
Yeah. And they had a scene in here of like a balcony with like this big lake out back.
Uh-huh.
There's a small river near Loveland, but,
So you're saying like that. They didn't even film on location.
I'm curious as to where that's supposed to be.
Okay. Okay. Oh my goodness. Yeah. They're still out here. I hope their parents didn't lend them the money to make that movie, you know?
Yep.
You guys could have done a nice documentary about the Loveland frog. But you decided to do the Blair Witch frog? The hell. All right. Well, this one is from our buddy Alan Bean. Shameless cock-a-doody speculation from Alan from Michigan. Season 3 is leading up to Protectors of the Path, starring Quinlan Vos and Asajj Ventress, with special guest stars Obi-Wan Kenobi, Bail Organa, and Caleb Doom, to premiere on Disney Plus in January 2025. So this is what he's saying the next... hold up now. I could kind of see that, because they're kind of hinting that Omega has like a high midichlorian count, right?
Yeah.
So what if that's who they try? Because we know Asajj does show up. We know mm-hmm. Quinlan Vos was involved with that whole path. They even had fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi say his name in yep. the show. I'm surprised yep. Sal Perales is still with us after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That yeah. would have been like if Obi-Wan Kenobi went up and was reading those hieroglyphics and said, Jedi Master Ki-Adi Mundi. This would be an in memoriam podcast if that happened. I had a heart attack. I would watch that show. I don't know how much Obi-Wan needs to show up in it. Bail Organa would be kind of cool. Anything with Kanan would be kind of cool. But yeah, I think...
I like this a lot better than the clones.
I do too. And you know what? Have one of the clones be there so D. Bradley Baker can get half a Maserati. If they get two seasons, then he gets one, you know?
Right. Let him get a Lincoln Continental or something.
Yeah. Right? A nice Cadillac? Yeah. D, comfortable ride that Cadillac.
I would like to see them explore some other time periods, but as far as continuing the current time period, I do like this idea a lot. Protectors of the Path. I could get behind that.
Yeah, I mean, that's even a decent title for a show. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably going to be the clones. D. Bradley Baker has some fucking blackmail on somebody. You know what I mean? He is like, Dave Filoni didn't pay his taxes in 2013, and I know if he doesn't keep this money train going, I'm reporting him to the IRS. Man.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. They're going to do something. And when you look back on it sort of historically, they kind of announce the next animated thing not too long after the previous animated thing ends, right? So, like, Rebels ended, and it wasn't long after that they announced Resistance. Resistance ended, and then that summer is when they announced Clone Wars was coming back. Clone Wars, Bad Batch, right? So, I don't want to say for sure, because next thing you know, Patty Jenkins is going to be writing an animated series. But I would say we might know what the next thing is by the end of the year. I don't know that it would be out as soon as next January.
Yeah. They can be pretty quiet about production.
Especially on animation. And the other thing to keep in mind is the lead time on that animation is crazy. So if there is going to be a animated show after Bad Batch, right? Sort of one that's going to take its place, which there's no indication that there won't be historically. But if there is, it's already been in production for a little bit.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, for sure it would be. All right, buddy. Well, that knocks out the emails. What you guys doing over on the Sith list lately, huh?
Just talking about what do we talk about? Star Wars. Boo is out this week, so the Boo bits were just a bunch of random entertainment things. Ghostbusters is coming out next week.
I think I'm gonna try to go see that next week. I think it looks really good, that new Ghostbusters. Yeah.
My daughter and I are seeing an opening night. I have a procedure that day, so hopefully I'll be coherent enough to go see it. But we have our 400th episode in a few weeks.
That's awesome. Hell yeah. Yeah, you guys are coming up close on that, because it was within a year of starting Blue Harvest that Sithless started. Yeah. So we're close-ish in numbers. We've always been sort of close. Now, granted, you guys don't take the fucking... Every now and then where I'm like, hey, we're not doing one this week. That Sith list train goes, bro.
No, we just record two in 1 week and pretend it's new.
Really?
Yeah, we did. Was it around Christmas? I think it was around Christmas or maybe a few weeks after we did that. And we were like, I hope nothing changes next week.
Do you know, like, one of the things that I like about recording High Potion with Steve the most is that it's not necessarily topical. So we can record two episodes and have one banked, and that makes that one. That's why we're able to keep such a solid schedule with that show.
In case anyone out there doesn't know, High Potion is an awesome listen.
Thanks, buddy. We have I'm glad you mentioned it, because this might be of interest to listeners. We have a sort of cross promotion thing we're going to be doing with our buddy Robbo's.
Ooh.
His video game podcast, and it's gonna be cool. I've been talking to Robbo about it, so you guys will have that to look forward to. I'll fill you guys in when it becomes more solid, when we figure it all out. But yeah, it's a good time. We talk about video games, and we do bits. So thanks for the plug. King Tom's a natural at that. That's what you get from hanging out with fucking Araj weekly, man. That dude is so smooth.
Yeah, I've learned a lot.
Man.
Some of it correct.
What a good group of dudes. So what I do, because I don't drive around as much as I used to, which is where I listen to all my audiobooks and podcasts. So what I do is on my days off, I have like a set show for the day that while I'm doing stuff around the house, I get caught up on. Last week was Cano Bite. I learned so much about the Royals, let me tell you. It was fascinating. This week, Sith List. I can't wait to hear the Slipknot of geek podcasting. Cut it up. I can't wait. I'm stoked about it. Bunch of good dudes, including Eric Struthers, Professor Struthers of the English department. You best bet I'm going to be saying acolyte right. Every time I say it, I'm going to have that little hesitation. You know what? I'd be fine if that show gets delayed a little bit so I don't have to face that down.
Can you just do it in your soundboard?
Oh.
And just hit the button.
Oh, my God, King Tom. That's why you're the king. I will just sit here and get one really good acolyte.
Yeah.
And then just it'll be like this. But me saying acolyte, it won't be a fart sound.
Right.
You know what I mean? Obviously. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you coming on and hanging out with me.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. So everybody should be listening to the Sith List if you're not already. You guys did a recent, you and Steele did one, right? Somewhat recently?
We did a Page Wars, yeah. A few weeks ago, a month or two ago, about the Return of the Jedi from a certain point of view. That's the
fuck yeah. I
short story collection.
I got to catch up on that too. That's a great Patreon show if you guys ever haven't checked it out, because sometimes I don't have time to read Star Wars books, but I do like getting like the cliff notes and like a nice summary of it. That's a good one to check out if you guys haven't already. Leave us a review. Check out Stoned Cobra on Spotify, iTunes, and at stonedcobra.bandcamp.com. And we'll see you guys next week. We'll get Will's thoughts on these two episodes and whatever the fuck happens next week. Until then, this has been Blue Harvest, and I'm Halls Burkhart. Thanks again, buddy.
Thank you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with us.